There's a saying a few years back that everyone who claimed to be Christian was sharing. They made bracelets, signs, bumper stickers, and even billboards with WWJD or What Would Jesus Do? The problem arises when everyone has their own interpretation of what Jesus would do. For example, and what I want to speak on today, I want to read what a friend of my wife's posted on her Facebook page. She said, "Can we stop bashing each other, please? So many people bashing others because they celebrated the new year. Okay, so what? Is that really the mark of a Christian? Not according to Jesus Christ. He said we'll know his people by their love for one another. Nowhere does Jesus say you'll know them by their Sabbath and holy day keeping. As I've said before, it doesn't take the Holy Spirit to do that. But what does take the Holy Spirit is truly loving our neighbor, even if, or maybe especially when, they don't worship the way we think they should. Isn't that really God's business? I say, let's put the rulers down that we use to measure the righteousness of others and pick up the righteousness of Jesus and start hugging each other." She went on to say, "The sign of the Sabbath was given to Israel. Exodus 31:17, it will be the sign between me and the Israelites forever. I don't believe anything that does not require the Holy Spirit to accomplish any sign that I am a Christian. Otherwise, I can boast about doing it, which people do, and the scripture says the praise they get for it is all the reward they'll get. Our righteousness does not come from the Sabbath or holy day keeping. It comes from only from faith in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. We are pacifying our ego if we think otherwise. It's unfortunate that we ignore the love commandment, the one that's the hard one, which requires the Holy Spirit, but hold tight to the Israelite Sabbath, the one that's easy to keep and does not require the Holy Spirit. I know people who are not in the church who are far better examples of Christianity than those who are. People in the church get a false sense of security in their salvation, believing their Sabbath keeping justifies them. Jesus was talking to the Pharisees, but I think it applies. Matthew 23:27. Woe to you hypocritical Torah teachers and poor Shema. You are like whitewashed tombs, which look fine on the outside, but inside are full of dead people's bones and all kinds of rottenness." Now, just to put this in perspective, this is someone who attends one of the churches of God, not United. She is not talking about people outside the church, but saying we are not to speak up when people in the church observe pagan practices. She went on to show it's not just celebrating New Year's that we should ignore among our brethren. It's any of the holidays. She went on to say, "We're so quick to defend the days we keep, but not to defend the words of Jesus where he specifically says not to judge, among other things that appear to be little importance to those staunch daykeepers. I'm not saying that the Sabbath is not the Sabbath, but Jesus made it clear that the people were more important. It's one thing to say to someone you might want to look into the origins of Christmas and leave it at that, unless they ask any questions. But to keep arguing with them, trying to make them see it from your point of view, and ending up telling them they're not real Christians is definitely wrong. We did not see the conversation she is alluding to, so I cannot speak on this accusation. It'd be very different if the person was not in the Church of God or knew, but the rest of her post seems to imply that is not the case." So she continued furthermore, "You don't want to keep those pagan days, but your whole lives are set up around that pagan calendar, all your appointments, work, and dates, all of it. Shouldn't you stop that and come out of the world? That's what you are saying, but that's ridiculous, isn't it? That's because when Jesus said to come out of the world, he meant the lying, cheating, stealing, sexual immorality, etc. Not one place in the New Testament will you find Jesus telling them to keep the Sabbath and holy days. The Gentiles were not included, and not one sermon were now included, and not one sermon or message about that. Not one explaining the Sabbath and how to keep it. Doesn't that strike you as a bit odd? But what is there is how to treat our brothers. That is what is throughout the New Testament, beginning with the Sermon on the Mount. We defend our Sabbath and holy day keeping with the statement that we follow our leader, Jesus, who kept these days. Why stop there? Why not really follow his example of a loving life, a giving life, a non-judgmental life, one that truly honors the sacrifice? In Matthew 24, when Jesus was talking about the end and how he will separate those saved from those not, what was the standard he uses? Not one word about days. Rather, it was about how we meet the needs of our neighbors, being focused on the needs of others, will fulfill the law of Jesus Christ, the law of love. People don't need to be hit over the head with a ruler. They need to be hugged and shown that their Savior loved them so much that he died for them. So she is right about our salvation and righteousness coming from God. I do not take exception to the statement that we should have more love toward one another and less getting out the measuring stick to measure someone else's righteousness. The thing I do not agree with, she seems to see the Sabbath as just a ritual and not an intimate time spent with our Father and Savior through the Holy Spirit. If two or more are gathered in his name, he was there. I don't know anyone that keeps the Sabbath in our church and thinks it gives them a free pass into the kingdom. She is implying that we are breaking our arms to pat ourselves on the back for keeping the Sabbath. No, we are only doing what is commanded. And go away knowing each week that we must be more yielded to our Heavenly Father in order to acquire his righteousness. If the keeping the Sabbath is so easy, why do so few do it? We know people who have lost their jobs, or even now, some have issues at work for refusing to work on Saturday. I don't think that they would agree it did not require great commitment and help from the Holy Spirit. What about her statement? Not in one place in the New Testament would you find Jesus telling them to keep the Sabbath and holy days. First off, Jesus' ministry is held among Jews who all kept the Sabbath. It was not necessary to explain the Sabbath and the importance of keeping it to them. They had all the information in the scrolls. The message was explained to the Gentiles through the apostles at a later date. And you'll find they opened the scrolls and expounded them from them. Be like a mechanic teaching how to change the brakes to a bunch of other gearheads. He does not have to tell them to remove the wheel first. They already know that. But doesn't take away the importance of the wheel. What about the rest of the New Testament, where we are told that it shows love to God and fellowship, or fellow man, to keep the commandments? Jesus did not mention the commandments. Did mention the commandments and summed them up between love for God and love for fellow man. You can't have one without the other. 13 times he mentioned keeping the commandments, which includes the fourth one, and he stated that he was Lord of the Sabbath. Here are a few. Don't need to turn there, but John 14, verse 15 and 21. If you love me, keep my commandments. Verse 21. He that has my commandments and keeps them, he it is that loves me, and he that loves me shall be loved by my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Matthew 19, verse 17. And he said unto him, why do you call me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if you will enter into life, keep the commandments. And Mark 12, verse 29. And Jesus answered him, "The first of all the commandments is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one God, one Lord.'" Verse 30, "And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment." What about the Sabbath being a sign between God and his people? If you'll turn to Galatians 3:29. It says, "And if you are a Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." God does not make a difference between Jew and Gentile. All are now heirs to the promise, and God, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever, still sees the Sabbath as a sign between him and his people. We enter the covenant relationship with him that is the same as the one Abraham was given, keeping the Sabbath as a sign of our obedience, just as Abraham was obedient. If you'll turn to James 2. James 2 and 18 through 20. "But someone will say, 'You have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works.'" Verse 19. "You believe there is one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead?" It does not help others to turn a blind eye to adultery, which is what celebrating pagan holidays is. We can't whitewash it, sanitize it, or reason around it. As was shown in 1 Corinthians, it is not helpful to be puffed up about how tolerant you are towards others in their sin. They were puffed up over the tolerance of the man involved in fornication with his father's wife. God sees idolatry as fornication against him. Obviously, she agrees that some practices are pagan, but thinks if you tell others who attend church, they should not be doing it. That is bashing and judgmental. She made it clear that she is not speaking of new people in the church who may not know. These are people who should know. She never said exactly who was bashing and when. But from other responses, we gathered that they took offense to someone posting that true Christians avoid the practices tied to paganism, and it had to do with coming out of the Babylonian mystery religion. It is definitely wrong to singling out people to tell them to straighten out their act. James 4, verses 11 and 12. "Do not speak evil of one another, brethren. He who speaks evil of a brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge." Verse 12, "There is no one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who are you to judge another?" Judge is Strong's 21:19. Crino is, I'm guessing, the pronunciation. It says to try, condemn, punish, avenge, conclude. Condemn, damn, decree, determine, esteem, judge, to bring a lawsuit against someone, ordain, call in question, sentence to. When Jesus said judge, judge not, he was talking about condemn. Same word is used in John 3:17 to say Jesus did not come into the world to condemn the world. Before we get on our high horse to straighten out others, we have to be sure we are not the problem. It is not our place to nitpick others to death. but to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. Only God knows what's in someone's heart. But we do have to stand up for the truth and say the true church will not take part in pagan traditions. If we do not take it to heart and still try to reason around it, you just have to let it go. If they do not take it to heart, you just have to let it go. You will not change their minds, you know, with a lot of words. And often that makes it seem like a tone of harassment. There was a time many years ago when my wife was invited to a home of a newly baptized member in the church. They had cooked a pork roast. She had not eaten anything but the vegetables served, and the new people noticed it. And they asked her why she did not eat it, and she told them that she kept the food instructions given to the Israelites. And they immediately got up and threw the pork roast out and began searching their cabinets and freezers to see what else was not permitted. The point is, people seeking to please God will change once it is made clear to them, made known to them. They don't take offense, and they don't make excuses. My wife told her friend on Facebook, God says the Sabbath is between us and Him, and to stay away from the practices the pagans did to their gods for every abomination in His sight they have done for these gods. The people of God should not be associated with it. Love toward our fellow man is the other half of the equation, and they are not mutually exclusive. What is being said sounds remarkably like the reasoning used by the Protestant and Catholic churches to bring pagan practices in. They felt they could bring in people to Christ if the churches of God did not take a stand against false worship. They followed down the same path of no longer being a church of God. You cannot falter between two gods. In 1 Kings 18:21, and Elijah came to the people and said, "How long do you falter between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow Him, but if Baal, follow him." Some don't understand the difference between righteous judgment and being judgmental. This friend received many accolades for what she had written, and she said she felt that she had been inspired. God already judges some things as wrong and told us to stay away from them. It is not my judgment. If I tell you Christmas is pagan, that's not my opinion. God has already judged that. If you'll turn to Matthew 5. Turn to Matthew 5, verse 19. Says, who therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men so, shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. So what would Jesus do? Would he turn a blind eye to people so obviously going along with the rest of the world, yet claiming to represent him? People seem to forget that all of the Bible is given for instruction. Jesus does not hesitate to set people straight that he comes in contact with. He admonished the woman caught in adultery to go and sin no more. Jesus is also the God of the Old Testament, did not tolerate idolatry. Many died who were involved in the worship of the golden calf. And he did not tolerate treating the Sabbath as anything other than holy. God's presence and His Spirit are what makes something holy. The Israelites did not have God's Spirit for the most part, and the law was not written on their hearts. For us, it is different. We must utilize the Holy Spirit within us to keep the Sabbath in the way that God expects. We must use the Holy Spirit to have all the laws of God become a dynamic part of us and not just ritual. We must put away all idolatry and false worship and worship the Lord of our God in spirit and in truth. I'll conclude with Jesus' own words that we never want to hear. Matthew 7:23, "And when I will declare to them, I never knew you, depart from me, you who practice lawlessness."